Hey everyone, and welcome to the Homicide Homegirls podcast, a true crime podcast examining the true crime cases that fascinate and intrigue us. I'm Arielle.
And I'm Amanda.
Thanks for joining us.
We can't wait to share the details of this wild episode with you.
Welcome back, guys and girls.
Hey, y'all.
Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday.
Yeah, I don't have too much of an introduction today either, so.
We're lame.
Yeah, and I realize that, you know, we just say, welcome back, guys, a lot. So this time I was like, guys and girls, but, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I guess guys is gender neutral sometimes, but, you know, whatever. I just wanted to be very inclusive of everyone, so.
But so anyway, what's up?
So today we're heading to Oklahoma for the second time. Shane Kaufman was our first Oklahoma case. But today we're going to discuss the disappearance and murder of Brittany Tiger, a 26-year-old Native American mother of three who went missing in early 2018 in Ada, Oklahoma. So Brittany Tiger's sister, Jessica Tyson, told Dateline that Brittany, quote, had a heart of gold, end quote. And Jessica continued that Brittany always wore a smile and was quick to lend a helping hand. And at the time of her disappearance, like I said, she was 26 years old. And she was the youngest of three sisters living in Ada, Oklahoma. Jessica, the oldest sister, told Dateline that her baby sister Brittany was, quote, a firecracker, but kind, genuine, and gorgeous, even on the inside.
I feel that. I feel that.
Yeah. So in 2017, Brittany filled her time with taking care of her three young children, who were 9, 7, and 4, which, hey, I'm sure she was really busy. She filled her time with taking care of her kids and spending time with her loved ones. So in September of 2017, Brittany married William Gomez. And according to Brittany's sister, Brittany and Will were inseparable. So after the marriage, Brittany and her kids moved into Will's house, and Brittany and Will's friends described their home as happy. You know, no one thought anything. But just 5 months into their marriage, Brittany would mysteriously vanish.
5 months? Do we know how long they dated prior to being married?
I wasn't able to find all that, but... So I want to talk about her last known whereabouts. So, and I found this in one of the articles when she was still missing, a description of her. So at the time of her disappearance, Brittany Tiger Gomez was described as a Native American female with black hair and brown eyes. She was 5'3" and weighed approximately 118 pounds. So on February 11th, 2018, Brittany's three children were staying with their biological fathers.
So it was just mom and dad, or mom and stepdad.
Right. And according to a statement that Brittany's husband, Will, would later make to police, the newlyweds took the opportunity of being childless to, you know, go to bed early and get a good night's sleep. Uh-huh. And as a mom of two young kids, I can totally, totally get that. Like, a lot of times when my kids are not home, which does not happen very often, my husband and I will go eat dinner and be home by, like, 9. And we're like, yeah, let's go to sleep.
Y'all, Ariel slept at my house a couple weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, and, like, I let her sleep late. I was like, I don't want to wake her up because she, like, I think she slept till 9. I think she got a full 9 hours.
Yeah.
And I was like, dang, girl. But I was like, she never gets to sleep late, so I'm going to just leave her.
I know, and I was like, why didn't you wake me up?
I'm like, why didn't you set an alarm ever? Like, yeah.
But the whole point of that is I can totally get that. Yeah, you know,
I get it. I don't even got kids.
You know, like, just want to catch up on some sleep. But Will says that he woke up at 3:30 a.m. and noticed that Brittany's side of the bed was empty. And after looking around, he noticed that she was gone.
What?
Yeah. And
these never sit well with me.
No.
And I don't get it.
I cannot think of it, but there was another case that was very similar. Like, the husband or...
Mary Denise Lance?
Was it him that he... No, she walked off after they got in an argument.
Yeah, allegedly.
But, yeah, I don't know if it's a case we covered. I think it's just a case I've watched something on that...
But even disappearances in general, I just can't freaking wrap my mind around them.
Right. So Brittany was usually in constant contact with her family. So after not hearing from her for a week, her family naturally started getting concerned.
A week? You're right.
Well, no, they were concerned.
I didn't even answer my dad's phone call, and he wanted to know why. I'm like, Dad, I'm in the library. Right. Like, that's a good reason not to answer me, but go on. Right.
So on February 19, 2018, Brittany's half-sister, Christina Lewis, reported Brittany missing to the Ada Police Department. As a result...
So her husband never did it?
No. And I'll get there, but...
You're making my eye twitch over here.
Yeah, but I watched a couple documentaries about it, and Brittany's mom did say that she was talking to Will. Like you said, they after a week, well, they were talking to Will, like... what's going on, and, you know, her mom was telling Will, like, you need to report her missing or whatever, or go call the police, and he never did. But anyway, I'll get there, and what I'm about to tell you is going to make you really angry. Like, Amanda might flip this table in a minute.
You anybody seen Inside Out from the Disney Pixar movie? That anger guy is me sometimes. I use that gif a lot.
That is accurate.
I use that gif a lot. I mean, I'm not uncontrollably angry, but...
from our last episode.
Yeah, so.
Not our last episode, but like a few episodes ago.
Yeah.
From the Michelle O'Connell episode. That's what uncontrollably angry
yes.
is from. But anyway, so as a result of this missing persons report being filed, Ada police officers responded to the Gomez home to conduct a welfare check. Which I think, is that pretty typical?
So... You said Christina Lewis reported her.
Her sister.
Yeah.
Half-sister.
And it depended on what Christina told him. The police officers.
They might.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. Look, she lives at this address. Her husband has been knowing she's missing for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We told him he needed to...
Yeah, if that's what she said, I... Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So...
I just didn't know. So, according to an interview with Dateline, Ada Police Department Detective Brian Engel responded and found that Brittany's husband, Will, was at the home, so police took his statement at the house.
Mm-hmm.
When police interviewed Will, they were basically like, why didn't you file a missing persons report immediately when you
enlighten
noticed she
me,
was
please,
gone?
Please, right now, enlighten me.
Will told detectives that he didn't think there was a detective on duty at the time, so he didn't file the report. Because he found her at 3:30, he didn't find her. He realized she was gone at 3:30 a.m.
First of all, 911 doesn't sleep.
No, 911 is 24 hours, buddy.
And if whatever case is forwarded to the detective bureau, they will get that case for it. Like, they'll get it.
Right.
Doesn't mean they're going to get it right.
He's full of crap.
No, yes, there's an initial reporter, and it's usually a patrol officer.
Right, and even if they don't respond till the next morning, I mean, you know... 911 can take that call, right? Like, if it's in the middle of the night, you can call 911 and report someone. I don't know. Just BS excuse.
I agree.
But Will's story regarding why he didn't report Brittany missing would eventually change. And we'll get to that in a second. So, Will, in his statement, told police that Brittany must have left while he was sleeping. And he told him that she took a couple, it looked like she took a couple hoodies and a bag of makeup with her. Which, every picture that, she's a very beautiful girl, and every picture I've seen of her, her makeup is like flawlessly done. So I guess I can see that, you know, it makes sense that if she left, she would take that, you know, her makeup.
But it's predictable.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's what
But one would predict but, that she would take her makeup. Because.
True.
Because
well, yeah, true. That's a good.
So I'm gonna throw out the word frame, but go ahead.
And Will also told police that Brittany took their only cell phone. Like apparently, I guess they shared one. I don't really know.
Government phone? Like what?
I don't know. But a phone rang in his pocket shortly after that.
Oh.
So, after asking him, Will, multiple times, he finally gave police the phone number of the phone in his pocket. So, like, you're obviously lying to them. But, like, why would you, if you're going to do that, put it on silent. Make sure it's on silent. Like,
get rid of it.
Yeah, like, you idiot. So, at this point in the investigation, police believed Brittany left of her own accord, on foot, because neither she nor Will owned a car. So, like... She didn't have transportation, so she either had to leave on foot and somebody picked her up, or somebody had to come pick her up, or what?
Huh.
Well, I guess not that they believe she left on her own, but if she did leave.
If they only had one, I mean.
They had one, supposedly.
I mean, Uber was a thing in 2018, but.
What?
Uber.
Oh, right. But if he has the phone.
Yeah, I know.
So, although police initially believed that she left on her own, the family was like, no, she would never willingly abandon her kids. You know what I mean? She had three kids. So, Brittany's sister Jessica told Dateline, quote, "The weeks of waiting and trying to look for her and hoping she'd be found were awful and long," end quote. Jessica referred to her days after Brittany's disappearance as, quote, "something you think to see on TV or a bad movie," end quote. Aww. Which, that's, I mean, I can imagine.
Like a nightmare.
Like the not knowing.
Uh-huh.
So, at the beginning of the investigation into Brittany's disappearance, police didn't really have much to go on besides Will's statements and, you know, talking to Brittany's family. But Will quickly began to look pretty suspicious. To the Ada Police Department and to Brittany's family. According to authorities, Will didn't seem to want to find Brittany like her family
like
did.
Like, no drive.
Right, like, he wasn't concerned.
He wasn't motivated.
Right. Like, her family's, like, freaking out with worry, and he's just, like, nonchalant, like... And this is where Will's story starts to change. So after originally telling police he didn't report his wife missing because he didn't think a detective was on duty, which
is Bravo Sierra.
Which is what?
Bravo Sierra. Bullshit.
Oh, phonetic.
Yeah. Okay.
So Will tells police he wasn't worried that Brittany was missing because, according to him, Brittany commonly would take off for weeks at a time.
I know you lie.
Yeah, and that's something that Brittany's family, like...
I was about to say, her family, her family would be freaking out.
Yeah, and her family, like, vehemently disputes and disagrees with that. But according to Will, Brittany's tendency to just take off for extended periods of time put him at ease, so he just kept living his life and went about his normal routine. Will even left the city for a while.
I don't like this dude.
No. And Detective Engel told Dateline, quote, "The Ada Police Department received information that Gomez traveled to the Shawnee, Oklahoma area after Brittany was missing, allegedly to visit his father who lives in that area to do some work there with him," end quote. So he just left the area? Your wife's missing and you're just gonna leave the area? Because, like, that's one of the biggest things that they tell you. You know, like, people whose kids, like, parents are... You know, husbands or whatever, or not husbands. Parents are, like, spouses of people who go missing and, like, are never found. Most people don't move. You know, it's like, what if they come home?
Uh-huh.
You know? And this dude's just, like, peace out. Like,
but he only left for, like,
Yeah, he came back, but still, like, I don't know. It's sketchy. So, Jessica, Brittany's sister, reiterated what detectives said to Dateline, saying, quote, "Will claimed to be mad at her for leaving unannounced, so he went and worked in Oklahoma City. She never went anywhere without Will. He was always right by her side. That's why we found it strange that when she first went missing, he didn't ever ask to see if she was at our house," end quote.
Oh.
So, like, according to, like...
He wasn't, like,
checking. According to his sister... According to Brittany's sister, Will never, like, called any of her family.
Hey, have you seen her?
Yeah.
Nothing
no,
like that.
Nope. So he just woke up and she's, like, missing in the middle of the night. And
that's like the stamp of guilt right there.
Right, like, he just woke up, she's missing in the middle of the night, and it's like, okay, cool.
Right.
I don't know. So according to Ada detectives, Brittany told her mother around 11 p.m. the night before her disappearance that she wanted to leave her husband.
Oh, there's the motive.
Detective Engel told Dateline, quote, "She texted her mom and said, 'I need a break from Will. I'm going to go to my sister's house in Texas.' Then she sent another text message to her mom about an hour later saying she was fine, that she was having trouble with her phone. That was the last anyone heard of her," end quote. Which, if they shared a cell phone, he could have seen those texts.
Right.
So... And there were also two possible sightings of Brittany that were reported after she went missing. The first was at the Ada Walmart around February 18th,
mm-hmm.
and so, like, a week later. And another was at a restaurant in Midwest City on February 24th. However, from what I could find, police were unable to substantiate these. So, according to Ada Public Information Director Lisa Bratcher, a rancher was checking on his cattle, and he discovered Brittany's body in a wooded area near the Coahoma Reservation, and I've also seen it called the Coahoma Indian Stomping Grounds, okay. which is east of Ada, Oklahoma, on March 16th, 2018. So a little over a month after she went missing. Brittany's body was found 15 miles from her home, and according to her family, Brittany had no ties to this area and had no reason to be there, like, on her own, like, of her own accord. Bratcher said, quote, she was decomposed, so she had definitely been there for several weeks, end quote.
Yikes.
Brittany was found lying on her back with her hands above her head, like this. And her bra was actually pulled up over her chest in front of her sweater. I don't know, but...
Did you see pictures or no?
No, I didn't see pictures, but they...
No, I'm trying to visualize and I can't, so...
Yeah, I don't know if... Well, they said it looked like she had been maybe dragged, and that's why her hands were over her head, and maybe that's why her clothes were, like, pushed up. Now, the bra being over her sweater, I don't know if that could have happened just from...
Yeah, I'm getting Julia Davis vibes, so...
Yeah, You know, I don't know if that the bra being over the sweater could have happened from being dragged, but they did say it looked like she had been dragged out there. An autopsy, which was released later in March of 2018, stated the cause and manner of Brittany's death both is unknown.
What?
Due to the state of decomposition on her body.
What?
Yeah. But meth was found in her system, which I don't... Her body was too decomposed to determine a cause and a manner of death, but you can do a tox screen still?
Well, I mean, there's bone marrow, too. I don't know if...
Oh, okay. You can run a tox screen on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess. I don't know. I'm not an expert.
So, Brittany didn't have a criminal record, but according to her mother, she had struggled with drugs for a couple of years. But she was trying to get clean at the time of her disappearance and eventual death. So, like, you know, she had... I guess substance abuse issues, and but I think I want to say her husband did too. I'm not 100% on that, but so, you know, and I've read some Facebook comments, and yeah, because she's been referred to as Brittany Tiger, which I think was her maiden name. I think she was married previously, prior to
Will,
yeah, Gomez. So I think. She's been referred to as Brittany William, or Williams, I think, and then also Brittany Gomez, and I've read some comments, I think it was the Ada Facebook page, Ada Police Facebook page, like they shared her picture when she was first missing, and I was reading some comments, and people just said some, like, really ugly things about her.
Yeah,
like, something about her being, like, basically, like, yeah, of course she went missing when she's got so many different names, or they mentioned something about drugs or whatever. But look, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care if you do drugs. Like, you're still a person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you've been married multiple times. Like, you're still a
what
person.
What does that have to do with anything?
Yeah. And I think her sister actually was, like, commenting back, like, how dare you? Which, good for her.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's still a human life.
Yeah, like, that's so disgusting that people really say stuff like
that.
I
really hate people.
I know. Like, I was reading these comments and I was like, horrified that people are just they don't know this girl from Adam, and they're just sitting there passing judgment on her.
So when I was a dispatcher, the one thing that I guess kept me grounded was, what if that was your family on the phone? It was a repeat caller. We knew she was crazy, like, but what if that was your family?
Right.
Like, and that helps you to
right.
To treat the call like you should.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and like,
and that kind of goes for that too.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't matter how many times she'd been married. It didn't matter if she had problems with drugs. She was still someone's daughter, sister, mother,
wife.
I mean, I hate when people use that as, like, trying to discount somebody's worth because they've had a rough go of things, or, you know.
Yeah.
And I also hate the whole high-risk lifestyle.
Yeah.
I try not to say that, but... Anyway, so the Pontotoc County Sheriff's Office was the first law enforcement agency that was on scene when Brittany's body was discovered. Pontotoc County Sheriff John Christian said that Tiger's clothes were pulled up and her body was laid out consistent with her being dragged into the field, like, from the road and left there, which I kind of touched on that before. According to a YouTube video by the verified news network VNN, Christian said, quote, like, possibly someone was dragging her by her legs, and therefore her arms were following behind.
Yeah.
I believe from indications that I saw that it appears that someone took her body out there. I do not believe that she was alive on that property. I think that she was already deceased just from what indications I saw and was took there and left, end quote.
I find it really suspicious that none of her kids were home when this happened.
Right.
When she went missing. Like, right. It was convenient. Like, it was
perfect opportunity for her husband to get rid of her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. That is suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
Pontotoc County Sheriff's deputies and Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation, OSBI, agents conducted the investigation of the scene where Gomez's body was found, and Ada police investigators were assisting OSBI with investigation into Gomez's death and were conducting their own investigation into their disappearance. When Ada police originally interviewed Will, Brittany's husband,
mm-hmm.
he was flagged in the National Crime Information Center, or NCIC, which we talk about a lot,
yeah.
for law enforcement to contact federal probation. But a reason wasn't given in the police report that they wrote
so
up.
So, it's him. Him. He's not, well, now she's not missing anymore, but never mind. Usually when somebody's missing, they might, or if somebody's wanted, they'll link that person with somebody else.
Oh,
or
okay.
a car
yeah,
or
yeah.
something. But this is not relevant to that.
Because she was not missing anymore.
Right.
So, there, you know, like I said, there was a note in there for law enforcement to contact federal probation, which I'm assuming, I don't know, I guess they did, but nothing, no reason was given in that report. But I did a quick Google search of the name William Shelby Gomez, and it returned a ton of articles related to a 2011 armed robbery of a bank that Gomez committed with his wife at the time.
Not his previous wife.
His ex-wife. His wife at the time in 2011. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit. So on June 20th, 2011, around 4:30 p.m., 19-year-old William Shelby Gomez walked into Arvest Bank in Choctaw, Oklahoma, handed the teller a pillowcase, pointed a sawed-off shotgun at her, and ordered her to fill the pillowcase with money. The teller complied, you know, did as she was told. Like, they train bank employees, you know, do what they tell you. And she complied, and she filled the pillowcase with money and handed it back to William, who then fled the bank on foot. And the entire incident was captured by the bank surveillance cameras.
I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, you found the picture?
Uh-huh. I wanted to see what he looked like, because Gomez mm-hmm. makes me... Every time I hear the word the name Gomez, I think of the Addams Family. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so he's apparently also Native American. So, witnesses saw the robber get into a green extended cab truck, and police later found this truck abandoned not far from the bank. Another witness saw two people exit that truck and get into a white panel van with the word plumbing on the side in faded red or brown letters.
Mm-hmm.
So law enforcement officers recognized the van as being similar to that of a plumbing business in the area, which is really good detective work if you ask me. So this led investigators to a home at around 10 p.m. the night of the robbery, where it was determined that the residents owned and operated a plumbing business out of their home, and one of their plumbing vans had yet to be returned. So, as it turns out, William Shelby Gomez knew the owners and was employed there part-time. He had taken the van with permission around 4 p.m. to fill it with gas, but hadn't returned it yet. Upon speaking to the owners of the business, detectives were able to not only identify Gomez, but identify his accomplice as well.
Mm-hmm.
The accomplice was Gomez's wife, Angela Jones, who was the daughter of the business owners.
What?
Yes. So she told, and then they found her and interviewed her, and she told police that Gomez told her that he planned to rob the bank, and he shoved the shotgun into her side and told her if she didn't drive him to the bank, and if she drove off and left him at the bank, that he would go back to her parents' home and kill them.
Oh my God.
So she's saying, you know, that she was coerced into, or, you know,
right.
not coerced, that's not the right word. committed it under forced? Under duress. Yeah. So on June 21st, 2011, William Shelby Gomez turned himself in to the McLeod Police Department in McLeod, Oklahoma. And so then he was transferred to the Choctaw Police Department, where he confessed to the robbery after being advised of his rights.
Mm-hmm.
And on March 21st, 2012, after pleading guilty, Gomez was sentenced to 50 months, so a little over 4 years, in federal prison for the armed robbery. And in May 2012, Angela Jones was sentenced to serve 24 months in federal prison for using funds obtained from the robbery. And they both had to pay, like, restitution.
What? So she used the money?
I guess. I don't know. I couldn't find on what, but, yeah. So, yeah, the whole point of that is, like, this is not the first time that he's had a marriage end in, like, crime.
Uh-huh.
I think they got divorced in, like, 2013. She filed, Angela Jones filed for divorce. I don't know exactly when he got out of prison.
Uh-huh.
But I want to say I read that he was supposed to be in prison for 4 years. And then he had another 4 years of, like, supervised probation. And I want to say they said his probation was supposed to end in, like, 2019. So Brittany went missing.
In 2018.
Right. So while he would have been on supervised probation, which is why
the NCIC.
That NCIC note came up.
You're right.
That if he's involved in anything, to let federal probation know.
Hmm.
You know? So, yeah, that was just kind of a quick...
Uh-huh.
You know, background on him, like, he's got some...
Demons?
Yeah. Yeah. So, this is kind of another offshoot, but when I was Googling and researching Brittany's case, an article from KXII.com, which is a news station located in Sherman, Texas, stated that the Oklahoma State Bureau investigation is offering a $10,000 reward for information on Brittany's case. But there was also something else interesting that I found in the article. Apparently, in September of 2019, the OSBI started creating decks of cards. But these aren't normal decks of cards. They're cold case playing cards.
Uh-huh.
The cards feature unsolved cold cases under the OSBI's jurisdiction, and they're sold in the Oklahoma Department of Correction facilities with, you know, hopes of generating leads in cold cases where investigators have hit a dead end.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was really neat and mm-hmm. could potentially be really beneficial in cold cases, because maybe somebody in these prisons knows something, and, you know, if they see these cold case cards, they might think, hey, I know something, and, you know, if I tell them, I might get a deal.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, I really hope these cold case playing cards help the OSBI solve some cases that otherwise may not be solved.
That is pretty neat.
Yeah, and, like, I'm not sure if she's actually on one of the cards, because uh-huh. it was, like, odd. Not odd. Well, the article was kind of odd. It's like they're offering a $10,000 reward for any information on Brittany's case and another guy's case out of the same, I guess, the same location, uh-huh. the same area. But he's on the King of Clubs, so that's kind of how the cards came in. They didn't say if she was on one.
Okay.
I'm not sure. But I just thought that was kind of an interesting little offshoot. So now I kind of want to talk about where we are
mm-hmm.
today. So according to a YouTube video I watched by VNN, which was posted in October of 2018, Ada police had recently told Brittany's mother that they were still actively investigating Brittany's case. However, when VNN reached out to them, the Ada Police Department told VNN that the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation, OSBI, was handling the case. Stranger still, when VNN reached out to the OSBI, they told VNN that the Ada police were the lead investigators on Brittany's case. So it's like...
Maybe they don't want the attention.
They're pointing fingers.
Yeah, they might not want the attention.
So that kind of makes me wonder, like, is anybody investigating this?
Maybe,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just weird. Just odd. But, so when Brittany's body was located in March of 2018, authorities told reporters that they were investigating Brittany's death as a homicide, but almost a year later, in February 2019, it came out that detectives never actually classified Brittany's death as a homicide.
But we knew that, right?
Hmm. What?
We knew that it was never a homicide.
Right, it was unknown. The
right.
ME classified it as unknown. But I think even, I know there have been cases where even though the ME rules it as unknown, which I think from my understanding, what an ME says and what, like, an ME's classification of a death is different from the detective's classification of a death. Because, like, I think a detective can classify it as a homicide if it says unknown. Like, if the ME says it's unknown. Like, they can still investigate it as a homicide.
I mean, they could classify it as whatever they want, but if they can't file charges unless they have somebody.
So. True. True. Detective Engle told Dateline, quote, "There is no current evidence that a crime has been committed," end quote. So she just drug herself out there? Like, I guess I get what he's saying. That
there's no evidence.
Yeah, there's no evidence. But there's no evidence that a crime has been committed? She didn't kill herself?
But there's no evidence is what he's saying. There's hardcore evidence to be filed. Obviously, they can assume. But they don't have anything to prove that it was a homicide.
Yeah.
And that's the tricky part.
Yeah. I guess I just don't like the way he said it. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So, although Detective Engle said Brittany's death hasn't been classified as a homicide, Ada detectives told Dateline that they continue to interview people in connection to her case. And in that same article in February 2019, Detective Engle told Dateline, quote, "Information is being followed up on as it is being made available. The Ada Police Department continues to gather information in reference to Brittany and follow up on it as it comes to light," end quote. So I guess they are still working on it. But so it was unclear to me whether or not authorities are still in contact with or keeping tabs on William Gomez, you know, concerning Brittany's death.
Yeah, they didn't say anything about that. Mm-mm. Probation.
No. Which I guess if he didn't commit a crime, she was just missing. They haven't pinned it on him or anything, so I guess he didn't violate his probation. I don't know.
I wonder if he got, retroactive, if they can prove that he committed the crime during the time that he was on probation.
Right, if they'll, retroactively go back. Right. But, I mean, honestly, if they can prove that, or if they pin this murder on him, it probably won't matter if he violated his probation, because he's probably gonna get life anyway. But if he did it while on probation, he's definitely gonna get life.
So
both the Ada Police Department and the Pontotoc County Sheriff's Department agree that it's likely the only way Brittany's case will ever be solved is if someone who knows something comes forward, and contacts police. And I feel like that's the case in a lot of these unsolved murders, I mean, somebody knows something.
Right. Whether it's him or not.
Right, whether it was her husband or not. So, as we usually do in these types of cases, we're going to give you a couple phone numbers at the end that you can call if you know anything about Brittany's disappearance or her murder. So, if you have any information about what happened to Brittany Tiger, we urge you to contact authorities. Even if you think it's not important, call anyway and let police be the judge of whether that information is important or not,
Yeah.
Tons of cases have been solved from, a tip that somebody was like, well, I don't know, maybe this might not be significant, but it really is. You never know.
Right.
So, like I said, Brittany was a Native American woman, and honestly, I've kind of seen it in the news a lot lately, but there are, a ton of missing and murdered Native American women.
Really?
Mm-hmm. In the U.S., yeah. According to governing.com, Native American women living on reservations are murdered at alarmingly high rates.
Uh-huh.
According to the Department of Justice, in some counties, the number is more than 10 times the national average.
Wow.
Nationwide, murder is the third leading cause of death for indigenous women. And thousands more face the threat of violence and assault. But according to a 2016 report from the National Institute of Justice, 84% of American Native and Alaska Native women have experienced violence in their lifetime.
Hmm.
Of that group, more than half experienced sexual violence. Nearly all of these women were attacked by someone from a different racial group, which is kind of rare for most violent crime victims. You generally offend against your same race sometimes, I guess. A total of 5,656 cases of missing Native women or girls had been entered into the FBI's NCIC database by the end of 2017, with 633 of those cases still active, which is 0.7% of all active NCIC missing persons cases, which does seem to be kind of a small percentage, but those numbers don't tell the whole story.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of times, because of tensions between police and, you know, indigenous communities and reservations, Native people will choose not to report crimes.
Oh.
You know, and it's kind of, it's like a jurisdictional thing too, I think. Like, a lot of times reservations have, like, their own, I guess, laws and stuff.
Or they just do away with. Like,
I don't, yeah. I don't know. And even when a crime is reported, some police agencies don't always prioritize missing Native cases.
I hate that.
I know. And in addition to crimes not being reported, different police departments have different requirements for how and when they share case information with databases like NCIC. So the true number of missing and murdered Indigenous women is really unknown, and it's likely much higher than we're aware of, and that's terrifying to me that, I don't know.
It's kind of like the statistics surrounding rape cases or sexual assault.
Right, because they're
scared to.
Vastly underreported.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in recent years, a lot of states have started the process of introducing bills to address the issue. Bills have been introduced in recent years in Arizona, Minnesota, Montana, New Mexico, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Washington State, which would and these bills would attempt to build tribal relations, collect research, promote transparency, and provide resources to law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like people are unaware that this is a problem, and I feel like it's a good thing that, you know, people are trying to take steps in the right direction to fix it. Actually, according to the U.S. Department of the Interior website, in January 2020, so just a couple months ago, a federal task force was created to address the epidemic of missing and murdered American Indians and Alaska Natives. The task force is made up of federal officials whose task it is to enhance the criminal justice response, consult with tribal governments on potential solutions, and empower Native communities with information. So I think it's good that, they're going to talk to, like, the tribal governments, like, to get their input. Because, you know, that's probably pretty important.
Yeah.
You know, and if they can make, build better relationships between police and the reservation, you know, the people on the reservation, so that they're not scared to report, or that they're not, that they're not reporting.
Yeah.
You know? So the task force has been named Operation Lady Justice, and has plans to review Indian country cold cases, strengthen law enforcement protocols, and work with tribes to improve investigations, information sharing, and a more seamless response to missing persons investigations.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, you know, the task for the federal task force will, you know, have some good results. So the task force is scheduled to present a progress report to the president by November 26th, 2020. And issue a final report detailing its activities and any accomplishments by November 26, 2021.
Okay.
So we'll keep an eye on this. And like I said, I hope it brings about some change, because something's got to be done.
Right. It should.
That's
like
just
this.
Absurd that it's that bad, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, like we said, I mean, it doesn't matter. Your nationality, sexual orientation, you know, habits, you know, drugs,
lifestyles.
Whatever, lifestyles. I mean, everybody is a person, and everyone deserves, you know, if something happens, if somebody's murdered, everyone deserves to have their murder investigated.
Right.
You know, I mean, it doesn't matter. So I don't know. And I'm going to go ahead and say this, that the problem is that they're not white.
Yeah.
Honestly, if Brittany Tiger was white, I feel like more might have been done. I don't know.
Probably.
I don't know. And I hate to even say that and, you know, bring race into it, but it's true.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's just, it is what it is. I mean, it's sad, but.
Yeah, I hate that.
I know. I hate that that happens.
Uh-huh.
It's, you know, it's
20. Like, it's 2020.
Yeah, it's 2020. Why is this happening? You know?
Yeah.
But anyways, so we'll definitely keep up with it and let you guys know if there's any updates. But I don't know. I feel like, barring some random person that knows something coming forward, or somebody, we've said this multiple times, somebody getting arrested and wanting to use it as leverage.
Yep.
You know, that I don't know if her her murder will ever be solved, and it's just really sad.
I hate these cases.
I know. So if you have any information on the circumstances surrounding Brittany's disappearance or death, please call the Ada Police Department at 580-332-4466 or Crime Stoppers at 580-332-2824. And callers can remain anonymous.
Well, y'all, that's the case of the disappearance and murder of Brittany Tiger. Thank you for listening to Homicide Homegirls. If you enjoyed today's episode, head on over to our Facebook page and leave us a review or rate us on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. If you want to be the first to know when an episode is released, make sure you subscribe to our podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Homicide Homegirls, Facebook at facebook.com/homicidehomegirlspodcast, and Twitter at homegirlspod. If you would like to suggest an episode, use the form located on our Facebook page. Once a month, we plan to answer fan-submitted questions in a segment we like to call #AskTheHomegirls. So be sure to use the form on our Facebook page to submit your questions.